Hello, Carol. And there's Elliot and Sandy. Okay. So we are now up to the section of the Hallelujahs. So if we remember, as we've been going through the Siddur, we have this transitional paragraph of Yehi Chavod. Then we go into what we call the main part of Psuki Dezimra, which is Ashrei and the Halukas, which the Rambam said Ashrei at Sof HaSefer. In other words, Ashrei until the last Halukas, they make up the last six paragraphs of Tehillim. So that's the, and that's considered the central part, in fact, of Psuki Dezimra. The Rambam, we mentioned last time, the Rambam and the Rif are of the opinion that Ashrei is the most important part of Psuki Dezimra. Whereas Rashi, as we'll get to, Rashi mentions that the most important part of Psuki Dezimra is actually not Ashrei, but rather it is the third and fifth paragraph of the Halukas. It's the Haluka, which is Halu es Hashem min haShemayim, Halu bamromim, and the Haluka, Halu kel b'kodesho, Halu birkiyah uzo. And Rashi says the reason why those two mizmorim are the central part of Psuki Dezimra is because mivnei sheyeshbo hilulim harbe. They say Halu many, many times. It's, I guess it's so much fortuitous that we're talking about hilulim. On when you're getting to Lag BaOmer night, when all of the Hilula de Rashbi and all these parties that result from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so we're praising Hashem. We're not praising Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai as a way to get to Hashem. We're going directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the what Rashi says is the main Iker part of Psuki Dezimra. In fact, as Rashi explains, even though we paskin that Ashrei is the most important part of Psuki Dezimra. But if there is more time to daven, if you're late to shul and you need to catch up to get to make sure that you say Shmon Esrei and together with the Tzibur, if you have more time, you should say the Halukas. And if you don't have time for all of the Halukas, you should say those two Halukas, number three and number five. But again, as we know, Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach open and close Psuki Dezimra. Ashrei and the Halalukas make up the main part of it, with all the other aspects important, but none so much as Ashrei and the Halalukas. We ended off last time discussing the connection between Ashrei and the Halalukas. Now, obviously, the obvious connection between Ashrei and the Halalukas is that they follow each other in Sefer Tehillim. But Nevertheless, we had from Rav Amram Gaon added on this last pasuk into Ashrei, which is not in our Tehillim. Ba'anachnu nevarach ka me'atavyat ha'olam haleluka. That was added on to Ashrei. And the question was, why? And we began to discuss it. I don't remember if we discussed it in great detail, but Rav Amram says the reason why we take this last pasuk and which comes from Kuf Tesvav, and throw it into Ashrei before the Hallelujahs is to make a connection between the last Hallelujah, or to make a connection between Ashrei and the Hallelujahs through the word Hallelujah. In other words, the language that he uses is L'shalshule Hallelujah Basar Hallelujah. We want to connect all the Hallelujahs together. And what better way to do that? We want Ashrei needs to be connected since it's one unit. So we're connecting Ashrei now to the Hallelujahs, not just by virtue of the fact that chronologically they're linked, but now they're also linked with the word Hallelujah. There is a discussion about, the Bach asks, well, why do we need to add a pasuk of V'anachnu nevarach ka me'atav ad olam Hallelujah? Why don't we just take the beginning of the first of the next paragraph, which begins with Hallelujah, and modify it so that the previous verse of Ashrei almost sounds like it's linked with the word Hallelujah. In other words, he suggests, why don't we say the following? Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi, Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kasher Lilam Va'ed. That's the end of Ashrei. And then we say, Hallelujah, V'yiyeh Halali Nafshi Yes Hashem. So you have Hallelujah and Halali Nafshi, so you kind of bridge the two together. So the Bach suggested, but then he rejects that and says, no, it doesn't make sense to put the two Hallelujahs, to make the Hallelujah like that, because once you're starting with a new paragraph, it doesn't make sense to corrupt, I guess, or amend the actual pasuk in order to make the Hallelujahs fit. That is why instead Rav Amram Gaon chose a special pasuk which ends with Hallelujah in order to connect from one Hallelujah to the next Hallelujah. But what exactly does it mean, this idea, Lishal Shule Hallelujah Basar Hallelujah? What's the significance of connecting all the Hallelujahs together? Where does it come from? The Chachma Shlomo Kluger writes in Shulchan Aruch that perhaps it's connected to an idea that is brought down by the Tur about a Sephardic Minhag, which is no longer the Sephardic Minhag, but it was brought down as the Sephardic Minhag, which was that the Sephardic Minhag was to double the every single Pasuk at the end of the Hallelujah. They would repeat again. So Yimloch Hashem Li'olam Elokayach Tzion L'Dorador Hallelujah. They would repeat that Pasuk a second time. So maybe that here, what we wanted at the end of Ashrei is we wanted a Hallelujah to connect with a Hallelujah of the first of Halali Nafshi Es Hashem. So in order to connect Hallelujah to Hallelujah, we had to add on another pasuk in order to make it as if it's being doubled. That was kind of the idea that the Chachma Shlomo suggests. But again, it's still not perfectly clear about this idea of Lishalshule Hallelujah, Basar Hallelujah, but to link them, other than the simple understanding is that they're one unit. So Ashrei to the end is one unit, so we want to link all the Hallelujahs together. Ashrei doesn't have the word Hallelujah at the end, so we had to throw it in there to give it a special linkage and a form, not just in the sense of the fact that they're connected chronologically in Tehillim, but they are actually now linked through a form of tefillah. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that according to Rav Amram Gaon, that we're connecting there, all the Hallelujahs are linked, then we actually shouldn't make a hefsik from one Hallelujah to the next Hallelujah. In other words, we should say, V'anachnu nevarach ka me'atav ve'ad olam Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Halei Nafshi. Don't pause in between. Since all the Hallelujahs are one unit, they're linked now, we should never make a hefsik in between one to the next. That's a fascinating idea, because now that it's one unit, we give it extra added chashivos, so no, don't make a hefsek. That's the idea of the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the Kolbo is unhappy with the addition of this last pasuk into Ashrei, V'anachnu nevarach ka, and I think I mentioned that last week, and he gives a few different reasons. One reason, which I don't fully understand, is he says, V'anachnu nevarach ka wasn't written by David. If it wasn't written by David HaMelech, why should it be there? It is technically written by David. It's in Tehillim Kuf Tesvav. So I'm not exactly sure what he means by that. But he has a few other issues that he takes issue with, which is that the pasuk of Ashrei begins with Tehillah LeDavid and ends off with Tehillas Hashem. So that's the connection. That's the linkage. We're adding on another pasuk. We're ruining that special connection. Of course, we already ruined it by throwing in the words Ashrei, two psukim of Ashrei beforehand. So that may not be the strongest proof either. Then number three, he says, there are five Halleluka chapters, and 10 Hallelukas are now resultant. Five Halleluka chapters, it all begins with a Halleluka and ends with a Halleluka for a total of 10, which connects to what they call the 10 forms of Hilulim of David. By adding this pasuk of Anach Nivarach Ka, we now add an 11th form of a Halleluka, but that's not. David only had 10 forms of Hallelukas. And then the final problem that the Kolbo had was that if you're connecting the Hallelukas to each other, then this Ashrei, the last pasuk in Ashrei, only works during Pesukei Dezimra. But at Mincha time and Kedusha Desidra by Uva Letzion, we don't have Hallelukas, so you wouldn't need that last pasuk. So that's why the Kolbo says, I don't believe that Va'anachnu Devarach Ka should be in the Siddur. It should be removed. Nevertheless, that's not the Minog. The Beis Yosef says the custom is to keep it, and that is what we do. So we have that here. Now, if we jump all the way to the end of the Hallelukas, we have the, and we go to the end of it, it says, we repeat, it says, Kol Hanashama Tehalal Ka Hallelukah, Kol Hanashama Tehalal Ka Hallelukah. Why are we repeating the Pasuk over again? It's true, it's the last Pasuk in all of Tehillim, but why are we saying it twice? So the Torah says that we recite it twice to signify that this is the end of Pesukei Dezimra, at least the end of the main part of Pesukei Dezimra, right? It begins with Ashrei, and it ends with the Halleluka. So that's why we say it twice, to signify this is the end. It's like the nail in the coffin. We do it twice, a second time. The Beis Yosef, who we mentioned earlier from the tour, I'm sorry, who said that the old Sfarda custom was to repeat the last line of every one of the Hallelukas, they compromised and said, we're only going to say the last one twice. And that's where the custom evolved, according to the Beis Yosef. Interestingly, the Sefer Iyun Yaakov, which I saw quoted in the Sefer Minag Yisrael Torah, writes that the two Kol HaNeshamas are signify different sections. An ending, the first Kol HaNeshama signifies the end of this section of Pesukei Dezimra, and then the second Kol HaNeshama focuses on the beginning of the last section of Pesukei Dezimra. Another way to understand it, of course, how Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen fits into all this, we'll get to next week. I did see a really beautiful idea from Rabbi Schwab. Rabbi Shimon Schwab asks as follows: Kol Hanashama Halal Ka Halaluka, that we end off the Halalukas with saying Kol Hanashama Halal Ka with Yud Hey, that all of my neshama praises Hashem Yud Hey. But you would think that when we get to this, the last part of Tehillim, we would use Hashem God's four letter word Yud Hey Vav Hey. But here we're saying just Ka. Why are we limiting the praise to God's two-letter name instead of his four-letter name? So Rabbi Schwab says, and it sounds eerily familiar to the story of Amalek, Ki yad al kes ka milchama ba Hashem Amalek midor dor. What is the connection? What does that have to do with Amalek? So he quotes a Maimar Chazal, which says as follows: Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ein shmo shalem ve'ein kiso shalem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name isn't whole and his throne isn't whole until the name of Amalek is completely wiped out. And only when he's wiped out, then it'll be Shalem. So maybe there is an element of not fully wiping out Amalek, and therefore we have this temporary name of Yud and Hey as opposed to the Yud Hey Vav Hey. But the truth is that in Rav Schwab's understanding, which we'll get into a little bit later, his focus of the Hallelukas is in Yemos HaMashiach. At that point, there is no more Amalek, so we should be using the full Yud Hey Vav Hey. So he explains why we end off with Kol HaNashem HaTehalal Ka, why the David HaMelech ends off with a Yud and a Hey at the end of Tehillim, based on a Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni and Tehillim. It says as follows, that after David finished, the Medrash says that after David HaMelech finished writing Sefer Tehillim, he got a little arrogant. And he said the following. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yesh Bria Shebarasa Ba'olamcha, She'omeres Shiras V'Sishbachos Yoser Mimeni. Is there any other creature in the world that can say praises to you, sing your praises better than me? No one. Impossible. At that moment, the Medrash says, a frog appeared to David HaMelech. And he said, David, Al Tazuach Daitcha Alecha. Don't be so arrogant. She'ani Omeres Shiras V'Sishbachos Yoser Mimcha. I sing more praises and greater praises than you. And not only that, he says, She'ani Osekes B'Mitzvah Gedola. I'm involved in a greater mitzvah than you've ever been involved in. Yesh B'Sfas Hayam Min Echad She'ein Parnasaso Ki'im B'Mayim. There is this animal at the seashore which lives only from food found in the water. And when he's hungry, he takes me, he catches me, and he eats me. Based on the Pasuk, Imra'ev Sona'acha, if your enemy is hungry, ha'achileu, feed him food. So what does this have to do with anything? So he tries to understand this idea based on the following. He says, the greatness and glory of a human being lies in his power of free choice, of bechira. Each person has a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. We are fascinated with the desire to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we are equally fascinated in pursuing the opposite. That's the challenge, the push and the pull, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And therefore he says, if a frog were able to think and communicate as humans do, it would be able to express more songs and praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than could man, because the frog would be unencumbered by the Yetzer Hara. It's only the humans who have the Yetzer Hara. We don't. We're limited. Yes, we have the opportunity to overcome the Yetzer Hara, but we're still limited by the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, says Rav Schwab, at the end of Tehillim, precisely at the end of Tehillim, when we're at the crescendo of the greatest praise we can possibly give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's precisely when we say Ka, instead of Yudke Vavke, because we recognize that we are still limited in our ability to praise. That is the idea that Rav Schwab points out. Okay, so that is some of the discussion about the Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Ka Halleluka at the end of the fifth Mizmor. There is another discussion which arises, which is as follows. There is a Gemara, a Mishnah, I'm sorry, that says anyone who says Shema Shema or Modim Modim Mishaskin, so we tell them to keep quiet. They're a heretic. If someone says Shema Shema, so that sounds like you're saying Shema to two different gods, or Modim Modim, you're giving thanks to two different gods. So that doesn't work. You're not allowed to do that. We tell them to stop, kick him out of shul, maybe, I don't know, but or just tell them, just educate him. Unless they're doing it intentionally, then I guess we would want to kick them out of shul of some way, because they're spewing heretical views. So here it says Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Ka Halleluka. We're saying it twice. It almost sounds like we're saying Shema Shema. They're saying all my neshama praises you. All of my neshama praises you. Well, it sounds like we're praising two different gods. How can you do such a thing? How does that work? So there are different answers that are given for this. How do we reconcile this? But the main answer that I saw quoted by the Or Chos Chaim is that, look, this has been around the minhag that's been in our liturgy for so long that we repeat Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Ka, so clearly it can't be a reference to Shnei Rishiyos, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. There are those who say that when it says Shema Shema, it doesn't mean Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It rather means Shema Shema. So here it's the whole pasuk went after the next. That wouldn't be necessarily an issue of Shnei Rishiyos. But again, the point is the conversation is there. There's the Shaila about whether it's halachically appropriate to end off with saying my whole soul praises you, God, twice, when it sounds like there are two gods that we are speaking to. Something to keep in mind. Okay, so now we have to understand what the meaning of these Hallelujahs are. There are five of them. Again, we're not going to read through all of them, although there's a lot to discuss. Rav Schwab, in his book on tefillah has a long arichos, a long discussion about meaning in within each of the halalukas, but we'll try to give a more basic understanding, and then we'll end. So a little bit shorter, I guess, today in terms of the presentation. So first of all, if we look at the simple understanding, we have haluka haluli nafshi sashem, my soul praises God. The idea here in this zemer, in this mizmor, is simply to say that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that only on Him we place our trust, our emuna, that He is oseh hakol, that He makes everything, u meitiv lakol, and He is good for everyone. Matir asurim, He's pokeach ivrim, He's okev kufufim, ohev tzadikim, shomer esgerim. So therefore, yimloch Hashem le'olam elokayach tzion le'dor v'dor haleluka. So because we see how we're praising all the things that God does for us, yimloch, we coronate God. By the way, that last pasuk, yimloch Hashem le'olam elokayach tzion le'dor v'dor haleluka, is very familiar to us, not just because we say it every day in the halelukas, but because we say it as part of kedusha. This is, we borrow this pasuk of Yimloch from David HaMelech, and we put it into Kedusha. But it's connected to this idea that he's Oseh Kol, that God makes everything, Oseh Shamayim Ba'aretz Esayim Es Kol Asher Bam, and he's Meitiv LaKol, all those things we mentioned, which Matir Asurim Pokeich Ivrim Zokev Kufufim, are also the brachos, the part of the Birchos HaShachar that we make in the morning. So that's Mizmor number one. Then we get to Mizmor number two, Haluka Kitov Zamra Elokeinu, that it's good to sing about our God. So here, this idea, the message or the theme of this zemer is that it's always good to sing God's praises, to give thanks to God, who is a mashkiach, who watches over and all of Maisa Bereishis. He watches over it and all of his creations. Okay. Harofe lishvurei lev umechabesh lasvosa mona mispral kocham. He watches over everybody. Gadol Adonai v'rav koch, so much strength, so much power, and most importantly, he teaches Torah to the Jewish people. We see magid dvarav liyakov chukav umishpatav liyisrael. So that say there's a unique connection that is developed between God and the Jewish people. That's the main theme from zemer number two. Then we get to zemer number three, Hallelu es Hashem min HaShemayim. So here we have two different foci. The focus is, number one, is we ask all of the heavenly celestial beings to praise God for creating them, and we also ask the creations of the world, of this world, of the earth, to praise God for God's watching over them and bringing them into existence. So we focus on the two extremes and try to bring them together. That's the theme of the Haluka number three. Then we get to number four, which is Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash. Shir LaHashem Shir Chadash is, let's sing a new song. Why are we singing a new song? The idea here is the focus is to have a special simcha for the Jewish people and the Hasidim, the pious ones, that were given the strength to overcome their enemies. La'asos nekama ba'goyim tochechos ba'lumim. Lesra machim b'zikim minich b'dei mechav le'barzel. So that's the idea, that we're able to overcome our enemies and regain our strength and our independence. That's what Shir Chadash is about. Which, again, on a simple level, we're not at that point in our lives where we're looking for to have that independence, that autonomy. And finally, we get to Hallelu Kel B'Kodesho, which is that we praise God with all of these instruments. We praise God with Teika Shofar, Nevel V'Chinor, Sofu Machol, Minim V'Ugav, Tziltzalei Shema, Tziltzalei Srua, as well as with our neshamas, kol neshama, the halalka. So that's the overview. That's the simple overview of what these five halalukas are all about. I will give you two different approaches to understanding the five halalukas. One is from Rabbi Monk in his sefer, the Olam HaTzvila, the world of prayer, and Rav Schwab on prayer, which is as follows. So Rav Monk looks at it in the following way. Everyone understands that we've discussed this before, that Ashrei, the focus is on the material, on the guf. Poseichas yadecha umasbia lechochai ratzon. So now we're going from the guf, and we're transitioning perhaps to the nefesh, to the soul of the Jewish people. But when we think about the praises, so the says Rav Monk, we can divide them up into the first three, into three different categories. There's the individual praising God. There's the individual as part of a community praising God. So the communal meaning is praising God. And then the individual as part of humanity is praising God. How does this all work out? Well, the first halleluka is Halali nafshi es Hashem. It's all in the singular. I am going to give praise to Hashem. Halala Hashem bechayai, in my life. Azamra lokai beodi. It's all about me while I'm still alive. So this is a focus. We first have to make the connection. Before we get part of the become part of a community, we first have to connect individually. Once we can feel our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can go to the next step. So step number one is my nefesh is praises God because I'm connected. I have that bitachon and emuna in Hashem. And I'm ready to say Yimloch Hashem le'olam. Then when we get to the second zemer, haluka kitov zamra, what's the word we use? Kitov zamra elokeinu. It's not elokai, not my God, elokeinu, our God. So now we've gone from the individual to the communal. Harofe lishvure lev. We're now mentioning what God does, not lishvure libi, or lishivri lev, my broken heart, lishivure lev, to all brokenhearted people. Enu laHashem b'soda, zamru lelokeinu b'chinor. So these are the ways that we sing as a group in unison. It's not no longer, the focus is no longer on me, but on we. That's how it changes. And we end off over here, magid dvarav, of the end of this mizmor, magid dvarav liYaakov chukav v'mishpatav liYisrael, that he teaches the Torah specifically to the Klal Yisrael, lo asachen lechol goy, it says not done for other nations, u'mishpatim bal yidu'um, they don't understand all of the mishpatim, haleluka. So you see that there is this connection of the Jew connected to the Jewish community. The Jewish tzibur is found in number two. Then we get to Tehillim number three, haleluka, haluz min hashamayim. So here, this is a universalistic, a humanistic halleluka. It's no longer the Jew as an individual or the Jew among the Jewish community. Now it's worldwide. Everyone, all the celestial beings on the heaven, from the heavens above, every creature on the earth below, everyone is praising God. Once we get those three groups, once we have us, once we're connected and our community is connected and then humanity is connected, now we can get to this Shir Chadash. The Shir Chadash is a new future. This is a new future where everyone recognizes God's sovereignty in the world. It is only God. There is no one else other than God. This begins the Achris Hayamim. This is a reference to the days in the future, Yemos HaMashiach. That's why it's a Shir Chadash. It's a new song. It's not a song we have now. It's a song we will have in the future. And then finally, we get to the last one, Haleluka, Halukel Bekocho. Rav Monk points out, this is actually based on the Radak. The Radak writes that there are 13 Halelukas. But before we get to that point, what's the idea? This last Haleluka is that only after reaching that purity of belief, and now we get to this Yemos HaMashiach, the Acharis HaYamim, where everyone is on the same page in relation to their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now we can sing Haleluka, Halukel Bekocho 13 times, 13 Halelukas, corresponding to, say, the 13 midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls or shows his love to Klal Yisrael with these 13 special praises, 13 Halelukas. By the way, the Beis Yosef says that there's actually 12. Right, think about it. We only add on the last pasuk is doubled. So there are really 12 halalukas, not 13. So the Beis Yosef gives a different reason why we have this number. Really, the 12 halalukas correspond to praising God each month out of the year. So why do we add on the last halaluka, Kol HaNeshama, again? Why do we double it? Because there's Adar Sheni, sometimes there are 13 months in a year. So that's how we say Halalukah. But each, so each one corresponds to a month out of the year. I thought that was a really, really nice shot given by the Beis Yosef. Okay, so that's Rav Monk. Rav Monk's focus is on this continuum with this growth pattern where the focus is on a different being at each point. The person as an individual, as part of the Jewish community, as humanity, and then we can get to this level of utopia where everyone is together in unison praising God, and we can get to those 13 Halalukas. Rav Schwab has a little bit of a different approach to understanding the significance or the centrality of the Halalukas. He understands all of the Halalukas focusing on Yemos HaMashiach. It's much more eschatological, it's much more messianic in his view than in Rav Monk's view. They both have some messianic undertones for sure, even in Rav Monk, but Rav Schwab understands pretty much the whole entire gamut of the of these chapters as in messianic times. So the Halli Nafshiyas Hashem is particularly, we're praising God right before the Bias HaMashiach, right before Mashiach get there. This is the period he calls the period of the Nefesh. This is the period of the soul. We said Ashrei praises the Guf, the Halli Nafshi, my Nefesh praises God. I'm so close to the Bias HaMashiach, I'm so close to Acharis HaYamim that my Nefesh is praising God. I'm already there. And so we're getting ready, Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, and we're coronating God. Why are we ready to coronate God? Says Rav Schwab, because we're at Bias HaMashiach. We're ready to greet the Messiah. So that's why we're saying Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayach Tzion. Then we get to Haluka Kitov Zamra. He considers this the period of Ruach, that God is Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. We've built Yerushalayim. Now we're in Yemos HaMashiach. The Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. And now we say all the miracles that God does during this time. He's Rofei Lishvuri Lev. He's healing us. Mona Mispar LaKochavim. We're so numerous. Everyone's got these unbelievable strengths and powers and unique qualities that we've never had before. And that's a focus on what he calls the period of Ruach, this new spirit that we have because we're in these messianic times, which then flows into the next Halaluka, which is about Ruach HaKodesh. This is now divine inspiration. The divine inspiration is asking this great symphony, he calls it, where everyone is together giving Shevach and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, Yahalalu es Shem Hashem, Kinisgav Shemo Levado. We say that no one recognizes any other divine being during Yemos HaMashiach, but except for Yisrael Am Karovo, nevertheless, Am Karovo, the Jewish people who are still God's unique nation, they still have that special connection. But that is the flow. So we're in Yemos HaMashiach. We go from the Nefesh to right before Mashiach to this special new spirit during Messianic times, to a Ruach HaKodesh, to divine inspiration, and then we get to Shir Chadash. What is Shir Ol Hashem, Shir Chadash, this new song? This new song is a reference to Techiyas HaMesim, to resurrection. Where does that come from? He focuses on the fact that it says, Yirananu Yalzu Chasidim B'Chavod, Yirananu Al Mishkevosam, that they're going to sing joyously on their beds. That's a reference to resurrection. That's what we're focusing here on, Techiyas HaMesim, bringing back all of the dead, that now the neshama joins back with the guf. So we've had our body, our guf, was back in Ashrei. Now we're focused on the nefesh, but now the body comes back and joins together with the nefesh. They're reunited in the messianic times through Techiyas HaMesim. And finally, when the guf and the nefesh have returned, and we're in messianic times, and Techiyas HaMesim has occurred, now we're at Halukel B'Kodesho. We're giving praise to those B'Kodesho. We said before, we would have thought that we should praise God B'Kodesho means praise God in His Kodesh, which is His Kodesh HaKadoshim, His Beis HaMikdash. Rav Schwab says, no, that's not what we're referring to. Halukel B'Kodesho are referring to those neshamos of people who have sanctified themselves to Hashem, who have been able to rise up from the dead, who's now Guf and Neshama are together, those are the ones who are receiving this special Hallelujah. That's how Rav Schwab ends off his understanding of the flow of the Hallelujahs. He does mention at the end that we said earlier that according to, that Rashi points out that the most important part of Psukei Dezimra is Hallelujah number 3 and Hallelujah number 5. And he points out that the word Hallelu or Halleluhu appears 8 times in Mizmor number 3 and it appears 10 times in Mizmor number 5. What's the difference? Where does it come from? So he quotes a Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin says that the harp that was used, that will be used in the Beis HaMikdash in Messianic times, will have 8 strings, and the harp used in Olam Haba will have 10 strings. So you see again this connection here that the paragraph of Halu Es Hashem Min HaShemayim is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. That's why it's in 8 strings, 8 Halukas. And this last Haluka, Halu Kel B'Kodesho, is talking about Olam Haba. It's the next world. It's something that's otherworldly, and that's why it's 10 strings. Which, by the way, he says, he connects the idea of Shabbos as well. Shabbos is connected to a 10-string harp. What do you mean Shabbos is connected to a 10-string harp? Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. And therefore, what does David HaMelech say in the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? Alei Asor Va'alei Novel. What's Alei Asor? Is the 10-string harp that we're playing with. So even David HaMelech already makes the connection in Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos as well. So those are, again, different ways to understand the meaning and the depth behind these Mizmorim, which make up the last 6 Mizmorim of Sefer Tehillim. Obviously, you always want that you end off strong. So these are really unique in the Sefer of Tehillim, and there's a lot of depth and a lot of meaning to it. We've just gave a cursory understanding of the themes of the Hallelujahs, but didn't actually go and spend time in each one, understanding the depth behind them, which I would suggest you do if you have some time. But nevertheless, this is the overview of the Hallelujahs, connected to Ashrei, connected to Hichavod, connected to Mizmor Lasoda. As you go back, you kind of connect all the dots and then understand what you're saying. And every time you begin davening, you have a new appreciation for the structure behind it, the brilliance behind it, and for the meaning behind it. Next week, we'll spend some time on a very short paragraph, Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen, but there is lots to talk about, and if we have some more time, we'll move on to Vayivarech David. Have a good night, everyone. Thanks for joining. Don't forget to recite the Omer. Bye-bye.